It again, trying to break to the outside. Wilson cuts it back to his right, needs a block, and Wilson's going to go. He's to the 10, 5, touchdown Giants, 97 yards.
Now, here's your host, John Schmelk.
Welcome to Big Blue Kickoff Live right here on Giants.com. 201-939-4513. 201-939-4513. It's all presented by Andrew Mark. You can also send in your questions or comments on Twitter to hashtag GiantsChat. John Schmelk back with you. As you can tell by the voice and the energy, I'm healed. The cold is gone. A little college basketball for four straight days will do that for you. A little fantasy baseball draft. Lance and Paul did a great job holding the fort down last week. You'll hear from one of them again next Monday. But for now, welcome to Big Blue Kickoff Live on Giants.com. And not a whole lot going on for the Giants over the past few days in the last week or so. I'm sure you guys read the reports over the weekend. Victor Cruz in terms of the Giants having a $7-plus million offer on the table. Once again, the Giants obviously don't talk or make official what their offers are to free agents. So I can neither confirm nor deny that, but you've seen the reports. And I know from the tweets I've gotten from Giant fans is that they're kind of upset, and they think Victor Cruz should take that deal. They think it's fair. And again, we've talked about this before, everybody, that Victor is in a predicament where he could play under the tender, take the chance, not get hurt, cash in as an unrestricted free agent next year. And as an unrestricted free agent, honestly, he'll probably get $8 million a year. He probably will. But the question is playing that 1 year under the risk of injury worth an extra million per year or a little bit more, if that? And that's the decision that Victor Cruz has to make as he moves forward here. Now, the question of the day is, are you happy with the Giants' defensive line heading into 2013? Now, I'm relating this back to a couple pieces of news. Obviously, head coach Tom Coughlin mentioned last week about Jason Pierre-Paul, maybe wanting him to be in a little bit better shape as he moved forward last year. And if you listen to this show, you know I've been kind of hard on JPP a little bit. Not mentioning the weight specifically, but just in terms of him having a down year last year and really not being that dominant player, especially in the second half of the season. And really, I think it does have something to do with the weight just a bit. He came in, you could see there was a little bit of a gut, and, you know, there was talk, you know, very quietly about that this year. And, you know, I think Coach Coughlin hit it on the head, and I think JPP is to come back and have a bigger year and a better year this year for the Giants to succeed. The other reports, obviously, that OCU Manure, I don't believe it's official yet, but he's closing in apparently on a deal with the Atlanta Falcons, which means OC's days as a Giant might very well be over. Now, I've said since the beginning of this free agent process, I thought there was a chance that OC comes back on a small deal, maybe a 1-, 2-, 3-year contract. I thought that was possible, where he doesn't make a whole lot. A 1-year contract for maybe, you know, $2-4 million, something like that, where they bring him back for a year, situational pass rusher. But it looks like he's found the team, and a good team at that, that's willing to make him a very big part of their defense. So if OC does sign on there and gets paid, good for him. He's earned these, had a great career, and that's someone the Giants will have to deal with now this season in what's becoming a very, very tough NFC with the additions of the 49ers, the additions of the Seattle Seahawks. You know, Chip Kelly's going to make the Eagles a little bit better. The Redskins and the Cowboys will be back. They're going to be tough. The Minnesota Vikings hope they make some improvements this year and give Adrian Peterson some help. Obviously, the Bears, the Packers, the Panthers, and the Bucks think they might be better this year. So go down the list. It's going to be a very, very tough NFC for your New York football Giants. 201-939-4513, 201-939-4513. Let's start with Steven down in Florida. Steven, what's going on, pal? How are you?
I'm pretty good. And yourself?
I'm doing great, Steven. What's on your mind today, pal?
This is the same thing, the defensive line. I believe that we have one of the strongest defensive lines in the NFL, and last year it seemed like one game they would look like the Super Bowl champ, like especially against the Saints and the Packers, and the next game they look like they're a bunch of high school kids playing lost. So I think especially JPP, he was too inconsistent, and I believe that the weight issue was a factor, because after you said that, I noticed that after the Cowboy game, he ran that touchdown for the interception.
Yeah.
You could tell he was kind of slow and sluggish. So if we get that defensive line going like that we used to, again, I believe we'll be right back on top again. We just need to be more consistent on the defensive end.
Yeah, you know, and you know, Steven, that's the thing. And this is why I brought this up today with the defensive line. When you go back to when the Giants have had their most success, it's been because of their defensive line being dominant. First stopping the run and then doing a great job getting after the passer. And the second half of the season, specifically last year, you simply didn't see that. So going into next year, you lose Chris Canty, you replace him with Cullen Jenkins. You lose Osiemann, you're going to try to replace him from within with either an Adrian Tracy, Adewale Ojomo, maybe Mathias Kiwanuka moving from linebacker to defensive end. So you try to replace him there. But I think in order for the Giants to really get better and get back to their dominant selves, you're going to have to simply see players play better. You have to see JPP play up to what he did 2 years ago. And frankly, you need Justin Tuck to play better on that other end. He had another down year last year. You need Tuck to get 7-8 sacks next season.
Oh, yeah, yes, that's correct. Yeah, because he didn't have that much of a year either. Sometimes I watch the game, I'm like, what are you guys doing? Just sometimes they look lost themselves. But hopefully this year we can get back on track and play Giant football again.
Steven, I think you're right. Appreciate the call, man.
All right, thanks a lot.
And I think, Steven, where it starts, and, you know, we talked about the defensive ends a lot, but it starts a lot at the defensive tackle position too. Cullen Jenkins is a solid player. He's 32. You wonder how long he's going to play at this high level, but he's shown no sign of slowing down over the last couple of years. I believe he played all 32 games. He was healthy for two full seasons with the Philadelphia Eagles after having a couple injury-plagued seasons with the Green Bay Packers. So he seems to be playing some of his best football. I think he'll be fine replacing Chris Canty, and Linval Joseph is very solid next to him. Probably had the best year of any Giants defensive lineman last year. But pass rush, sacks, pressuring the quarterback, knocking him down, that's all great. The Giants still have to stop the run better. And if they don't do that, what they do in the pass rush isn't going to mean a whole lot. And they're going to struggle doing well in the pass rush as well. If you're not in third and long and second and long and making quarterbacks do those 5 and 7 step drops, guess what? You're going to have trouble getting to the quarterback. When quarterbacks are in second and three and third and two and they can do 3 step drops, you can max protect, and then you could eat up that secondary a little bit. Your pass rush is not going to be able to get the job done simply because you couldn't stop the run on first and second down. So the Giants, before they even have to worry about rushing the passer, have to get strong on that front four, in that front seven, and stop the run. 201-939-4513. Ebo's in Ohio. Ebo, what's up, pal?
What's up, dude? I was just going to chime in on how the Giants need to replenish their NASCAR package and replenish the whole defensive line, period. I mean, last year, the NASCAR package was okay and mediocre at best, but seriously, we need to replenish that line. JPP's young, all right, I understand that. Justin Tuck is all right, okay. But who's the other two guys in the middle? Linval Joseph is all right. He's pretty good. But we need to replenish the defensive line so the NASCAR package can be used to full strength. I suggest getting Breon Warner in the draft, the freaking nature, Ezekiel Ansah, just like showing side JPP. I mean...
Well, I don't think Ansah is going to be there for the Giants that late in the first round, but I think a guy like Warner, who has the type of size and strength that is rare at defensive end this league. There's so many smaller defensive ends that come out of the draft now. This kid Warner is a big, big kid, and I think he can help be a good two-way player for the Giants and really learn from a guy like Justin Tuck, who's a similar build, similar size, and I think he can learn from Tuck and eventually be his replacement on that side of the line.
Just like Marcus Hunt, you know the dude from SMU, 6'8", big defensive end. He can play defensive end or defensive tackle. Can help fill a hole, you know? Just another body on the defensive line.
Yeah, no question. And I think they're also going to move Kiwanuka to defensive end. I think that'll help, too. Remember, they did bring in Cullen Jenkins, and they think he can be a disruptor in the middle of that line, too.
Yeah, but the back end's really where I'm worried about because last year, Corey Webster, I mean, he wasn't like the top-tier cornerback I expected him to be, but I'm saying, like, the defensive secondary this year, I really hope it improves. Maybe targeting the draft again, maybe. I mean, I don't know what else.
Yeah, I think that front seven is a more likely target early in the draft than the secondary. I think they'll look for some help back there. But I think a lot, Ebo, much like the front seven, or front four rather, the Giants are looking for improvement from within. You want to see Prince get better in year number three. You want to see Hosey get better in year number two. You hope Corey Webster has a bounce back year. Is he going to be as good as he was in, say, like 08, 09? No, he's a little bit older now. Maybe he won't get back to that. That's fine. But he can be above average to good if he plays a little better. And I think he's more than capable of doing that.
Okay, and last question. What's the update on Hakeem Nicks and Victor Cruz's contracts? Like, I haven't heard anything about them, and yet we signed Lewis Murphy. And just, I don't know why we signed him, but...
The update is that there is no update. Right now, both players, Victor Cruz has not signed his tender yet, obviously. He's sitting there with a first-round tender on the table worth $2.9 million. They're trying to work out a long-term contract. I think both sides would like to work out a long-term contract if possible. Clearly, there is still some distance apart between the two sides. And when it comes down to it, Victor's going to have to make a decision. Do I want to play under the $2.9 million first-round tender? Roll the dice that I'm not going to get hurt this year and try to cash in as an unrestricted free agent next year? Or is he going to take the extension the Giants are offering him and, you know, maybe make a little bit less money than he would have liked? Maybe not in the neighborhood of the Mike Wallaces, of the Percy Harvins, of the, you know, guys like that. And that's a decision he's going to have to make.
Yeah. So I was just wondering, but thanks for having me and really enjoy this. Calling sometime.
All right, Ebo, anytime, man. Appreciate the call. Thank you very much. 201-939-4513. 201-939-4513. Our buddy Len is down in Maryland. And Len, I trust you kept Mr. Meadow and Mr. Dottino in check last week.
You know, there were so many things, and I'm really sorry I didn't hear either one of them. I missed them. They're both real good when they get on, but I missed three shows in a row, John. I can't believe it.
Neither can I, Len. I'm very disappointed in you.
Everything seemed to be happening in the morning around 10 o'clock, and I kept saying, oh, my God, I'm missing my show. But,
and, of course, Len, remember, you can always check out the archive version on Giants.com as well.
Yes, thank you. I'm glad you guys do that. I'm very pleased with you. Well, did you see enough basketball, John?
I did see enough basketball. I kind of laid around, and I realized exactly how out of it I was trying to follow all these games at the same time. But it was a lot of fun.
Oh, yeah, it is. It certainly is. It's a great weekend in for a sports fan. Let's see. Question of the day had to do with defensive tackle. If I were the Giants, I wouldn't be reluctant at all to draft an inside person, a tackle, if the right person were there, if they felt the right person was there, or to move back the middle linebacker or outside linebacker, as you say, the front seven. I don't know. You know, you can't fill every hole, and I think those first three rounds, John, I think we need starters, and I think there are enough players out there that we can find starters. We can find first-day starters. And so I wouldn't be reluctant. I got six or seven guys who I think are going to perhaps be there, and that if they determine that one of those guys is the best, like Sylvester Williams, I'd go in that direction for sure.
So you are still firmly on the Sylvester Williams bandwagon?
I think if Sylvester – well, now, there could be some other guys. If Cooper drops – you can't pass that offensive lineman.
He's very good.
If Warmack drops, you can't pass that offensive lineman.
Well, Len, I can tell you, I don't think either. If one is there, the Cowboys are going to take him. So if they're and they pick right ahead of the Giants. So if both of them are left and the Cowboys will take one, the Giants could get the other. But if only one's left, trust me, I would be very surprised if they get by the Dallas Cowboys and pick the
Well, I would agree. I think there's a couple of guys on my list who are probably 16, 17, and 18.
Right.
Including Minter from LSU at linebacker. The one thing I'd like to see the Giants, John, I mean, we got to start picking some people that we can plug in on the training camp starts, and plug that guy in and play. And I think there's enough players there, certainly first round players, that we can get a starter in that first round. And what I really want to see them do, if they need a middle linebacker, John, pick a middle linebacker. I'm tired of these guys who play middle linebacker but project to the outside.
Right.
Left tackles who project to right tackles. tackles who project to guards. Corners who project to safeties. Come on. If we need a right tackle, and that's where my next question was going to be, and I know I'm starting to take a lot of time.
Len, take your time, man. It's all good.
Do you think the right tackle for 2013 is on this roster now?
That is a good question. Do I think the starting right tackle in 2013 is on the roster right now?
In fact, let me refine it a bit. Do you think there's a long-term solution on the roster right now at right tackle? And I guess what I'm saying is Brewer think Brewer's a long-term guy for the Giants? And can we avoid right tackle in that first round?
I think you can roll the dice because you know David Deal can hold down the fort and be solid.
Okay.
But
okay.
Do I think Brewer's a 8-year starter at that position? I think at this point, from what he's shown,
Brewer's out. Yeah.
I would say less than 50-50.
What I'm thinking is it might very well be that right tackle is going to be the position. I mean, we're going to get there and we're going to say, look, the best guy here who's a right tackle is Fluker from Alabama. And if that's the case, I would be all right with that because I think Fluker is kind of an 8 to 9 year guy. I think you can plug him in training camp and, look out in, 2020 and he's still the right tackle.
Well, Len, I will say this. Let me put it to you this way. I believe either the Giants starting right tackle or their starting left guard is on the roster. I believe they add one more offensive lineman, whether it's a left guard or a right tackle, I'm not sure. But I think they add one more offensive lineman that'll take over one of those two spots, and the other one will go to either Brewer or to Deal.
Okay. Well, that makes sense. I'm hoping it's Cooper so we can plug him in at guard.
Right.
But if we need that right tackle, John, I want to go. I don't want a guy who's played left tackle for 4 years, and we're projected. But he doesn't have the feet to play left tackle, so he's going to be our right tackle. I want somebody who's played right tackle, and Fluker is that guy. If the need is there, now it might be later on down the line. We're going to pick another offensive lineman. We pick one in the first round. But to answer to your question, I wouldn't be afraid at all to draft an interior guy. Along that defensive line, everybody's frustrated. We don't want to get pushed around anymore, and I want a big body in there. I need the center and the two guards. After they play us, I want them hurting. I want the center and the two guards on the other team not looking forward to the next time they play the Giants because the tackles are beating them up a little bit. And I want big guys. As George Young used to say, there's only so many big men on the face of the earth, and I want them all playing for the Giants. And I'm beginning to feel that way too, John. On the Victor thing, I think this number suddenly being floated, this rumor, if the rumor is true and it's 7+, whoever floated it, whoever, made the offer, whatnot, I think this is probably good for the Giants because there's going to be a lot of teams out there who are going to say, wow, I don't know, that's a little, if he hasn't taken 7+, and we have to give up 8 plus a first-round draft choice, I'm not sure there's going to be a lot of bidders for Victor Cruz. I think it's down to the Giants at this point. At least I hope it is, and I hope we can lock him up long-term. I think that's what everybody wants to do. Nobody wants to penalize Victor, I hope we can lock him up long term because I think in 5 years, John, I think there's 5 or 6 years, I think there's 50 touchdowns there, and that's an awful lot of salsa dancing.
All right, appreciate the call, Len.
Thanks for taking my call.
Hey, no problem. Hey, look, Len, I think Len's right. I don't think you're going to get much interest from the outside left on Cruz. The question is whether or not it's going to be Victor Cruz on the tender or Victor Cruz on a long term deal this year. Bottom line, and the good news is for the Giants, that means Victor Cruz is playing in 2013 because I'd be very surprised if he decides to hold out. Maybe he'll miss it. I mean, at most, he'd miss an OTA. He'll come back from minicamp, pull the old OC or Shockey trick from, the middle 2000s, something like that. But honestly, folks, I don't see Victor doing that. To me, if they don't have a long-term contract in place by May 1st, he'll sign the tender, and he'll be in here for OTAs. That's my guess. I don't know anything. Just based on what I know about Victor and the way he approaches things, I would not be surprised if that's the case. 201-939-4513. Gerson's out in California. Gerson, how are you?
I'm doing good. Good morning.
Good morning. What's up, pal?
Hey, I have three things. What are the chances of Paysinger making it in a team, and what do you think about Kuna tackle coming up this year?
Okay.
And the other thing, for whatever reason, the podcast I work at, since I'm out of California, I get to listen to you guys on my phone only.
Okay.
But the app is no longer working. So I thought I'd let you guys know.
I appreciate it, Gerson. I will talk to the powers that be and make sure that the archive shows get put on that app, okay?
Oh, besides that, but normally you guys have the live show, and you can hear it on the mobile app. But for whatever reason, for the past week, I can't.
Really?
It no longer allows you to do it. Yeah. So what I have to do is wait for the podcast to show up, but like the 20 seconds is not on there.
Okay, no problem, Gerson. I will look into it, and I will make sure that gets resolved. Right, buddy?
Well, thanks.
Hey, no problem, man. Thanks a lot for the call. Now, real quick on Paysinger and Kuhn. I think Paysinger will have an opportunity to compete with Jaquan Williams for that weak side linebacker spot. I think Jaquan Williams has the leg up only because he's obviously had more experience at that weak side linebacker spot. He's done a little bit more there. He's shown what he can do. But I think Paysinger will be given an opportunity to compete and maybe even win that job this upcoming offseason going up against Jaquan Williams. As for Marcus Kuhn, I think he's one of those guys that's going to be around this league for a while. He works hard. He's a kid that loves to play. He has a perfect attitude for the position. He's a blue-collar guy. Is he the most physically gifted guy in the world? No, but that's okay. He's going to be one of those rotational defensive linemen that stick around the Giants for a long time, assuming he gets back from this knee. And I could tell you, he's here pretty much every day. I think he went back to Germany for a couple weeks. But besides that, Marcus Kuhn's here every day trying to get that knee right. I've never seen anybody here more consistently than him before the rest of the players reported, as I've seen with Marcus Kuhn. So I think he'll come back. He'll be effective. Is he going to be a star? No. But I think he'll provide a very valuable role for the New York football Giants this season. So there you go. And Gerson, I promise you, the webmasters here will get working on that mobile app issue. We got to get that squared away for you and all the other guys on that mobile app trying to listen on their phones. 201-939-4513. 201-939-4513. Hashtag Giants Chat on Twitter. I have not checked your Twitter messages, by the way. I need to do that. But while I look at these, I'm going to give the floor to our buddy Dave up in Rochester. Dave, what's going on, pal?
Johnny, good morning. How's your weekend? Nice vacation, couple days off?
I am nice and refreshed. And Dave, I want to know if you got your fill of Dottino last Friday. I know you were looking forward to it.
Man, I was looking forward to my Dottino, but I ended up being a blithering fool.
Well, what happened?
I don't know. I call in. I don't know. I got a little nervous. I had a crappy question. I kind of repeated, you know, what I said the day before. You know, I always try to make it cool and not repeat what somebody says. But I was not good. I don't think I impressed Dottino. So I don't know. Maybe I got nervous. Maybe I got a little man crush
you
on
choked.
Him and I freaked out.
You choked.
I don't know. But
Dave, you choked. Come on, man.
I choked. I totally choked, man. I did. So I got to work. I'll work on it. But I did want to comment. I know Ed Lance did an awesome job on Thursday. And it's funny because he got talking about Corey Webster. He got beat up a little bit on Thursday about Corey Webster, and he came back wonderfully. But then it kind of rolled over into Dottino on Friday, and Dottino said some interesting things, and I didn't realize that how much he loves Corey Webster.
Corey Webster is one of Dottino's guys. So, Corey's been here probably third longest after Deal. And I guess,
really?
You know, I think Deal's the longest 10-year Giant now since OT's not coming back. And then after that, I think you have Tuck and Webster, who were both drafted in 2005. Deal was drafted in 2003. Deal is the last pre-Tom Coughlin player left on the roster. Then, of course, you have Eli in 04. I think those, and Snee, obviously, in 04, well, in that 04 draft. And then you have the two guys in 05. Webster and Tuck. So those are your four longest tenured Giants.
I mean, he addressed issues. I mean, even Webster as a person kind of addressing that and kind of ended, because, you know, we had 2 days of Webster beat-upness.
Wow.
And he kind of calmed it down and said, look, just be patient, you know, and had all the faith in him coming into this year, which I thought was kind of interesting.
Well, the last thing you want to do is mess with one of Dottino's guys. He gets very protective. he gets upset, and then he gets riled up, and nobody wants to see that.
Yeah, no, he was definitely pumped. He was ready to talk football. So.
Excellent.
And, you know how his voice kind of raises, and he gets all loud and kind of crazy. So.
That's why we love him.
But if I could run one thing past you, Johnny, real
yeah,
quick.
Sure. What do you got?
is one person I think we kind of haven't talked about is Antrell Roll. Now, I think sometimes when it comes to Webster, Antrell Roll's given up some big plays, and if you could tell me if I'm incorrect, but checking his numbers, he's bound to make $7 million this year, actually the next 2 years.
Yeah.
And his cap hit is going to be around $9 million.
Yeah.
So that could be something, I don't know if they'll address this year, but definitely I think going, if Roll doesn't have a stellar year, we could see some problems with him next year.
You know, the funny thing about Antrell Roll, I kind of bounce back and forth with him, and there are two sides to the coin. The one side of the coin is one that you talked about. He does at times take some chances and give up some plays down the field. That does happen. You know, you can chalk up 5 or 6 big plays over the last couple years where that's happened. But that being said, I think his strengths outweigh that weakness. He can play safety. He can play slot corner. He'll do anything the team asks him. He's a great teammate, a fantastic teammate. Everybody in the locker room loves him. He works his rear end off. He's a vocal leader in the locker room. He'll call guys out if they're not playing their hardest. And really, he's one of the guys you'll want to talk to after a big loss, because he'll tell you what it is. He'll tell you what it's like, and he'll be honest with you. And, you know, he's just a very versatile player, and I think you'll see better production from him this year if he finally gets to go back to his normal safety spot. Remember against the 49ers when he got to play that robber position in safety and he got those two great interceptions over the middle against Alex Smith? That's where he's best. He can play the middle of the field, read the quarterback, support against the run, even blitz sometimes. And if you can see him there, instead of having to play man-to-man coverage in that slot, I think you'll see a better Antrell Roll in 2013.
And this year he should be back to his normal role, correct?
Well, right now, yes. Then again, we said that last year, too, until about 7 quarterbacks tore their ACLs in the summer and spring, and then that changed at the blink of an eye. So, who knows?
All right, Johnny, thanks again.
Dave,
talk to you.
Anytime, man. Appreciate it. I'm very happy to hear that Dave's weekend was made by having his a full hour of the Tino, I'm heard, on Friday. See, the Tino comes, he plays by his own rules. Length of the show can't contain him. He does what he likes. Apparently he tried to put together a Giants basketball team as well. Hope Paul didn't put himself in that basketball team. Waterboy, maybe? I could see that. Coach? No. I know Paul fancies himself some kind of basketball guru. It's not true. It's just simply not the case. I heard of his roster. Seems okay. Now, the one guy I'm not sure if he mentioned, you guys can tell me if I'm wrong or not, but Justin Tuck. Now, he played ball in high school, and the thing about Tuck is that he had a late growth spurt. So, in talking to him, he claims, you know, I have the power forward body, but I still have the guard skills from when he was undersized as a younger player. So, I think Tuck's your perfect 4-man, maybe even a 5-man. I don't know who else we're going to put at center based on height. I don't know who else is tall that could play. Canty would have been your guy, obviously. Canty would have been the center if he was still here. I guess Kiwanuka. I'm not sure if Kiwanuka can play, though. I've never seen Kiwanuka. I'm not sure if Kiwi played at all. I'm sure he did a little bit. He's a great athlete, so you would think. I think Kiwi at 6'8 would have to be your center with Canty off the roster. Tuck, undersized 4, little DeJuan Blair action, a la the Spurs. Anyway, let's go to Twitter, 201-939-4513, hashtag Giants chat. Here we go. Let's see. Defensive line, Christian Miola. Currently lacks depth. This is in reference to the defensive line. I expect to see this addressed in the draft. Is Kiwi putting his hand in the dirt where it belongs? Yes, Kiwi will be there. And Christian, I also expect the Giants to go there in the draft. Randy, it's Randy Oyo. Defensive line acceptable. We need to contain the gaps. Of course, talking about run defense there. Linebackers, defensive ends need to make some tackles. They got to improve. I agree. I'm with you there. Ian Gertler, cautiously optimistic, but there's very solid competition. That's what you like to see is competition. With you there. Chris Alvarado wants to start Kiwi in place of Tuck. Keeps Tuck's fresh, and Kiwi's a natural end. I think you'll see those guys rotate at that end for sure. And you also see Kiwi, I think, spell JPP at right end as well just a little bit. So there you have it, folks. Excellent job on the phones. Excellent job on Twitter. We're going to see if I can find anything else here on Twitter real quick before I say goodbye. But I should bring up, before I do say goodbye, that round 2 of the Giants Draft Class Challenge begins on Giants.com immediately after the show concludes. Go to Giants.com, or you're already there, and vote for who you think is the best Giants draft class of all time. and our second-round matchups after a couple first-round blow-ups, a couple close first-round matchups, a couple upsets, too. And these are two upsets. These are two lower seeds that advanced out of that first round. We didn't see them on the website, but at least when I set it up, these were two of the lower seeds, and they stepped up. They were doing some damage. Lawrence Taylor's 1981 draft class against Sam Huff's 1956 draft class. And I don't want to be presumptuous here, but my guess is that LT is going to have his ticket punched to the Final Four in this bracket. Now, remember, it's just LT and Bill Yard. Byron Hunt's kind of in the mix, but not a huge draft class. 56, though, at Huff, Jimmy Cavage, and Donnie Chandler. So those three good players there. Now, 2003, I think they handily beat 87. I think it was, what, about 55-45? Oh, it's actually on here. Excellent work. If I scroll down, the numbers there. Perfect. In the first round, let's see. 2000, well, I'll go to, which bracket is that? Let's go to that bracket first. That is the MetLife region bracket. Now, there was one blowout there. 1984 was all over 1979, 74% to 26%. But 1993 and 2007, it really came down to the wire. 2007 eking out a 52% to 48% victory there, which is surprising. I wouldn't think Strahan and Jesse Armstead would lose that matchup. Two of the stars going up against a very deep, I know they're more modern players, but, you know, there was really no star in that 2007 class. Honestly, though, Salomon, I think people really like Bradshaw. Seems like Giant fans really gravitate towards Ahmad Bradshaw. I think he put that 2007 draft class over the top. Now, they're going to take on 1984, who once again blew out Phil Simms. I think 84 might be the best draft class in this entire competition. So I'll be very curious to see who wins that matchup, if the old-timers can eke out a win against 2007. 83 and 2003 is another one. 83 is one of the better draft classes. I'm a huge fan of that draft class. Very deep. The Giants got about six starters in that draft class. So I think that could be a very interesting one. And they're going up against 2003. That's OC. That's David Deal. That's Super Bowl hero David Tyree in that draft class. Vasante Shianco, who not a lot of success with the Giants, obviously, but a player that obviously Giant fans know had a lot of success for the Vikings after he left. Taking a look at the Yankee Stadium region in the first round, 97 beat 1989 54% to 46%. 2005 draft class blew out the 1955 draft class. Rosie Greer, who, by the way, I invite you guys, look at that 1955 video we have up there. Rosie Greer was a beast. He looks three times as big as everybody else on the field. And also, look up Rosie Greer's Wikipedia page. That guy has lived quite a life. After his retirement, he was a bodyguard for RFK. How about that? Wrote books, was in movies, singer. Rosie Greer, Renaissance man. Just saying. Very interesting guy. Didn't know all that about him before I did the research for this draft class competition. I wanted the whole Rosie Greer video. That got shot down pretty quickly. But it's interesting. You're bodyguard for RFK. Come on. Wrote books, movies. It's pretty good. He was a singer, too, actually. Anyway, so you have they lost, anyway. Despite Rosie Greer's multi-talented abilities, they lost to 2005. That, of course, is the Justin Tuck, Corey Webster, Brandon Jacobs draft class. And they'll be taking on the 97 draft class featuring Tiki Barber and Ike Hilliard. I like the 05 draft class in that. So I think what you might be looking at here is an 05-84 versus 81 and 03. If I had to predict who was going to go to the Final Four, that's what I think it's going to be. I think 03 is going to upset 83. I would vote for 83 myself. I think they're the better draft class. But I think you can have 03 upset 83. I think LT is going to win. So I think you can have the OC versus LT matchup, which you could argue, without too much of a stretch, those could be the two best pass rushers in Giants history right there. Straight-up pass rushers, you can make the argument. Strahan's in that mix too, obviously. But I see Strahan as more of a two-way player. Obviously, I think a better overall player than OC. OC may be a better pure pass rusher, but it's hard to argue with Strahan's sack totals. I mean, he had a 20-sack year, so maybe I'll take that back. But anyway, two of the best pass rushers, two of the top five in Giants history, LT versus OC. And then I think in the other bracket, you're going to have, I think 05 is going to beat 97. I think 84 is going to beat 2007. So I think you have an 84-2005 Final Four. That's who I would vote for. But We'll see what happens. And again, voting will start as soon as this show wraps up. Make sure you go to Giants.com to place your vote for who you think is the best draft class in Giants history. And then we have the Final Four next week. And on Monday, I believe it's the 8th, the same day as the National Championship game, you will have one day of voting in the finals matchup for who you think is the best Giants draft class. So go to Giants.com and vote. Check that out on Giants.com. Thanks for joining us, everybody. Great job on the phones. Great job on Twitter. It's all brought to you by Andrew Mark. You can listen to this archive, of course, on Giants.com as well. We'll see you next time on Giants.com, everybody. Have a great day. See you tomorrow morning.